We continue our learning the Nishmas David ben Menachemish ben Chaniyaka ben Berachos Leo. We are in Bava Basra Perakei Mishnah Ches. Hamocher Yain Vashemin Lachavero. Person sells wine or oil to his friend. Let's say Reuven is selling wine or oil to Shimon. V'hukro Oshahuzlu. And as he's, let's say, pouring the wine or the oil for Shimon, at that point, do we see that they made a decision as to what the price is going to be and what Shimon is going to pay Reuven. And as Reuven is pouring, we realize that the price has hukru appreciated or huzlu it depreciated. And one of them wants to retract. Let's say if the price went up, so the seller says, you know, I'd rather sell to someone else for a higher price. We fix a certain price, but I see that the price of wine went up, so I want to change my mind. I want to go back on the deal. Well, let's say the price went down, and the lokach realizes that he could buy wine for much cheaper for if he bought it from somewhere else. So he decided he wants to go back on the deal. So the Mishnah says like this: Imat shalonis males hamida lamocher. If the price went up or down before the Mida is the kli, is the vessel that the seller is measuring the wine or the oil in. So if the Mida has yet to be filled with the wine or the oil that's being bought, that Shimon is buying from Reuven, then Lamocher. Then we assume that the price went up or down as the wine or the oil is still in the reshus of the seller, and therefore he can retract because the Mida has not that measure. Measuring kli has not been filled up. The mocher, therefore, the sale is not complete yet. The mocher, therefore, can go back. Mishim nismali samida. But if the price went up or down after the mida, that measuring kli already was filled, then lalokeach. Then we assume that the wine and the oil is already in the hands of the lokeach, and the price went up or down in the hands of the lokeach. Now, the Gemara says that it may matter who this measuring vessel belongs to. If the Mida, this measuring vessel, belongs to the Mocher, then even after it's completely filled up, the Lokeach has not yet acquired it. And if he hasn't yet acquired it, then the Mocher can still retract. Because the Kalim of the Mocher cannot be Koneh for on behalf of the Lokeach. They're still not in the Lokeach's hand, they're not in his kli. And that would be true even if that kli were in the reshus of the lokeach. Even if that kli of the mocher, the measuring kli which has the wine or the oil, is sitting now with the wine or the oil in the domain of the buyer, it doesn't matter. The lokeach doesn't acquire yet. If he doesn't acquire yet, even if that kli is full of the wine or the oil, the mocher still has the ability to retract because the sale is not a sale just yet. Let's say that measuring kli was that of the lokeach, which means he came to the seller and says, here, I want you to pour the wine or the oil into my kli. So then even before it's full, the lokeach potentially could be acquiring the wine or the oil as it's being filled up. Let's say that measuring kli had lines along up, you know, half, quarter, third, whatever it is. As we know, we have in many, you have Bunsen burners, your beakers or something have lines on them, and you see how much is filled up. So then, wherever it reaches that line, we say he's kone rishon. As the wine or the oil comes in, he's going to be kone. So under what circumstances do we apply the halacha in the Mishnah that it depends whether the Mida is full or not? Where if it's full, then it's now in the hands of the lokeach and the price went up and down in his rishus. Or no, the price went up, if it's not full, the price went up and down, then it's still in the mocha's rishus and he has the ability to retract. So the answer is, where the Mida, that measuring kli, doesn't belong to either of them. They borrowed it from someone. And therefore the chiddush of the Mishnah is the following. Before the Mida is full, so we assume that the kli that has been borrowed is what we call she'ula lamocher. We assume that it's the mocher who's really the one who's using it, who's the shoel on that kli, and therefore he can retract on the sale because that kli is really his, so to speak. But after the Mida is full, then we assume that she'ula, it's lokeach, is really the shoel on it because he's the one who now needs it. And that's why the mocher can no longer retract at that point. Now it's in the hands of the lokeach, this kli that has been borrowed. We're also speaking about where the wine or the oil is being measured in a simta, in a side, as we mentioned in the past, in the alley, an alleyway in the Rishus HaRabim, or to the side of the Rishus HaRabim, or a chatzar that belongs to both of them, or in the Rishus in the domain of the lokeach. In all of these cases, then we would say the kli of the lokeach can acquire for him, and that's, it would be considered the kli of the lokeach, assuming that it's full, and now the kli is considered borrowed by the lokeach. Then the Mishnah says, "Im hayasar sur beinehem." Let's say they had a middleman where he was the one who was doing the measuring on behalf of the buyer. They pay him, the buyer, let's say, pays him to do so. So says the Mishnah, "Nishbara hachavis." If during the measuring, the barrel that's doing the measuring broke, and we're speaking about a case that it wasn't because of an ones, it wasn't an accident, but rather because he wasn't being careful. The sarsur, this middleman, was not being careful with the measuring, and that's why it broke. So then nishbara la sarsur. Then it broke to him, which is another way of saying that he has to pay for the loss. He's like a shomer sachar on that kli, on that vessel, and then the sarsur therefore has to pay for it. Some say that we're dealing with a chavis of the sarsur that he lent to the, he lent that chavis to the mocher and to the lokeach. And the chiddush here is that the sarsur, this middleman, is here, even though he's not doing the measuring. If the chavis broke because of an ones, so then that's the sarsur's problem. The lemocher and lokeach don't have to pay him, even though they were, it was lent to them to use. Why? But if they're a shoel, the halacha is that if you're a shoel on something, and shoel on this case is the mocher and the lokeach, the buyer and the seller, the seller and buyer are shoel, are considered borrowers on this chavis. So even if an ones happened, don't they have to pay the sarsur, the middleman, because it's his chavis? The answer is no. This would be what we call she'ela b'bailim. You have this of the eighth parak of Bava Metzia is all about this. We learned this in the Parshas Mishpatim, that if the Baal is there, or the Baal is doing some type of service for the shoel, then the shoel is going to be pater. So here the sarsur indeed is around, and he's doing a service, and because of that, or measuring, whatever it may be, so therefore the mocher lokeach, although they are the shoel on the chavis of the sarsur, they don't have to pay if an ones happens. So whether we say it's the sarsur's chavis that they're borrowing, that sarsur's chavis and he's a shomer, and he is like a shomer sachar on it, or where the sarsur now is being paid, and or it's the sarsur's chavis that he's lending to the bar and the seller. The Mishra says that nishbara la sarsur, the sarsur's problem on that chavis, and not the bar and the seller. Then the Mishra says another halacha, once we're speaking about selling wine and oil, we want to tell you that v'chayev lahatif lo shalosh tipin, that when someone's selling wine or oil, he has to make sure after you pour it, so sometimes you have a little bit more that drops off, you need, even after you finish pouring, it looks like it's empty, you have to let it drip three more drops of the liquid, the wine or the oil, into the measuring kli of the lokeach that he's buying, and to make sure that you get that amount, so to make sure that you give him a little bit more. Hirkina, let's say the mocher tilted the measuring kli on its side after he had the extra three drops go in. Umitza, and which the leftover wine of or oil, which means he put the measuring kli on its side so that all of the leftover liquid now that were on the walls now come to the bottom of the kli, harehu shel mocher, even though now he's able to get more than three drops, he's able to gather this together into a little bit more liquid, that he doesn't have to give to the seller. The seller is miyayish on that. He doesn't assume he's getting that. That's not part of the sale. The mocher can keep those, and that's not considered stealing from the buyer. V'hachenvani eno chai v'hatif shalosh tibin. But the Mishnah says that this halacha, that you have to give the last three drops, is not if you're a shopkeeper, you're very busy with a lot of buyers, people are coming constantly into the store, then you pour the liquid, the wine, or the oil, do it very quickly, pour it, you don't have to wait for three more drops, you don't have time for that, and no buyer expects you to do that. If you don't, or no, even the chenvani has to do those shalosh tipin, but Erev Shabbos and Chashecha Pater, when do we say chenvani will be exempt? Only on Erev Shabbos, getting close to Shabbos, where time is of the essence, he needs to get home during the Chol, he has to do a weekday, he has to do that. Erev Shabbos, close to Shabbos, where the customers are coming and he has to close up the shop for Shabbos, then he doesn't need to pour in the Shalosh Tipim. Perek Hey Mishnah Tes. Hashalech es beno Esel Chenvani. Here you have someone who sends his son. His son is a katan, he's a minor, under bar mitzvah, and he sends him to the shopkeeper to buy oil, the value of an isar. Value of an isar. A small coin. Upunyon biyado. And what did he give his son? He gave him a punyon. He gave him, which is two isar. So this would be like giving someone, I want you to buy a nickel worth of oil, and he gives them a dime, and I want you to bring back a nickel change. So he gives his son a punyon. He's buying only an isar worth a half a punyon, one isar worth, two isar nickel a punyon. He expects his son to bring back the change. Umadad, and two isar, that's what he says, it's 1/48 of a seller. Umadad lo, be isar shem, and benasala se isar. So, Chenvani did exactly what he's supposed to do. He measured an isar worth of oil and gave him an isar, took the punyon, and gave an isar change, gave him the, took the dime and gave him a nickel change. Shavar esat slochis, if the son now breaks the flask, the barrel, on his way home, and now all the oil pours out, the ebed esa isar, and or he lost the isar, that coin, on his way back, hachenvani chayev. The chenvani, the shopkeeper, has to pay for the punyon that was lost, or the isar that was lost, and they offer the full punyon really, because now he didn't get his oil because the oil spilled out, and he has to pay for the flask. And the Gemara explains why. When the father sends the son to the chenvani, he doesn't expect the son to be bringing back the oil. He's letting or bring back the change. And his son is out katan. He's not trustworthy. He's not responsible enough. Obviously, when the son came to the chenvani, he came with the punyon. That wasn't he's going to buy. He came with the flask. That was to show the chenvani, this is what I want. I want you to fill this amount, and this is the amount that I want. And the idea was that the chenvani is going to take the flask and the punyon from the hands of the katan. And what will he do? He will send the oil and the change in the hands of a shaliach. Someone who can take responsibility. And the fact that he sent it with the katan instead, who's not a bar da'as, who can't take responsibility for this, so the chenvani is going to be liable. So the Gemara says, why do we have to say the chenvani, the seller here, has to pay for the flask? This is an aveda midas. What's aveda midas? The father was not responsible. He gave the tzlochis, he gave that flask in the hands of his son. So it's the father, as if the father gave up hope pretty much on it. I know maybe destroyed. So why would the chenvani have to pay for that? So the Gemara says that we're talking about a case where the chenvani took the flask from the katan and used that flask to measure oil for other people. By becoming a shoel shalomi das, borrowing something without asking permission, he has the status of a gazlan. And therefore, even if an onus happens, he's obligated to make sure that that flask makes it back to the Baal. You'll say, hold on one second, shouldn't we ask the same question regarding the punyon? Punyon, the same thing. Isn't that an aveda midas? So the Mefarshim say, since the punyon is still in the hands of the chenvani, he's not going to be potter until we have the value of a punyon of oil and an isar. Which means that the father not only gave a flask to the son, the father also gave a punyon to his son. Isn't that also an aveda midas? Should ask the same question. So here the difference is that punyon is still in the hands of the chenvani. So the chenvani, if he wants to be exempt, what has to happen? He has to make sure that that an isar change and oil is given back to the father. If the chenvani would give the punyon to the child himself, he would be exempt. That would be fine. But because instead he gave an isar change and he gave oil, and now what happened? But the oil got ruined, and he should have sent the oil in the hands of a shaliach. So therefore, he's held accountable as well for that. So therefore, the chenvani pays for both. That's the Mishnah says that chenvani chayv is chayv to pay the punyon. And and for the flask as well. Rabbi Yehuda poter. Rabbi Yehuda says no, the chenvani is poter from both because shalmanas ken shilcho, because the whole logic we gave before is not true. Meaning the father sent his son. What for? What purpose? Just to inform the chenvani that he wants oil and he needs change of an isar so that the chenvani appoints a shaliach to send it back to the father? No. Obviously, the idea was that the isar change from the half of the punyon and the oil is going to go back to the hands of the son to bring it back. Now, and this would be true even if the chenvani used, as we said, this flask to measure it for other people, he's still going to be pater because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not considered a goslin, it's considered a shoel. And since he did return the flask to the place where he barred it from, which means to the son, he should be pater for any onus that happens. Then the Mishnah says, the modim chacham Rabbi Yehuda, chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, bizman shat sloches biara tinok, which means, if the chenvani did not take the flask to measure for other people, so then he's not a shoel shalomidas, which has the status of a goslin. So then, even though he may have taken it to measure for oil on behalf of the child, his father, umadana chenvani l'socha, and on the way back, the kid broke the flask, then chenvani potter. Why? Since the father gave the son the flask, the achrayis, it is another midas. The achrayis is on the father, as we explained before.